Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It is currently about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest today in the studio is Marv Pickla, Executive Director of Thumb Works out of Marlette. Thanks for being with us again, Marv.
Hi, Craig.
You've got some events coming up. One of them is an event you had your premiere last fall, and it went so well you're doing it again, the Spring Thumb Boost Program. When is that happening, and what's it about?
Well, it's on Thursday, May 5th, and it is just our second one. We held one in the fall, Craig, and we didn't know exactly how it would turn out. The boost events are something that entrepreneurs are taking part in all across the state of Michigan, and different investment groups are looking for the quickest and the fastest ways to get new ideas, new business notions up front and center as quickly as possible. And so across the whole state of Michigan, you will find that different groups are hosting these pitch events, these boost events, and they're sponsored by usually a private or a group of investors that are just trying to figure out how to get Michigan going again.
And they're basically not expecting to find the next Microsoft or Apple, but a company could be created around this that will return their investment and make the money.
I think that it's wide open. During the first one that we held in the fall, we didn't know what to expect, and we had 17 individuals, entrepreneurs from the Thumb area that had some cool ideas. And the real tough part, Craig, is that they only have 2 minutes to make their pitch. Now, back in the days in high school, when you had to give that speech on something history-wise, and that 2 minutes took forever. I mean, because you just, you know, get your speech done, and you realize that you only took 30 seconds. For these individuals, as they get up in front of the judges and are preparing, that they really have to be ready and be practiced on getting their message across about what they want to do, what business area they plan to be involved in. Have they done a business plan? Have they checked out the market? All those kinds of things. And the judges are there to analyze that kind of thing. And the judges are made up of state-level people who are involved in entrepreneurship. There's usually a couple local people, local business people that will draw from that know a little about the region and the people, and they add that local flavor to it, and that's always a good thing. But for the most part, that 2 minutes goes by real fast, and you see how you do.
It sounds like, you know, you really need to know all the little things you need to get in that 2 minutes before you go in there, because you know, you missed the important part at the end that you were building a climax to, and it's not going to fly.
No, absolutely, and you never know who's going to be in the room. These are open to the public, and many people from different walks of life who maybe have a little money that they may consider, instead of putting in the stock market, would be more than interested in supporting a local business endeavor. And so when you're sitting there making your pitch and you're looking out into the crowd, you don't know who might be sitting there thinking, that's a great idea. I think I want to back this guy.
Now, is this something that's open to the public per se, or do you kind of check at the door to make sure these people are capable of being investors? You don't want to tie up seats with people who won't be able to help the people who want to get up there and pitch.
Well, because it is a kind of a public event, Craig, I can't be too screen in and screen out-ish as we host the event. We hold it in our board meeting in our office in Marlette, and there's a pretty good seating capacity, so interested people usually can visit. But probably the more important thing is applying that question as to who gets to be a entrepreneur, to be a pitcher that night. When we interview candidates to be in the Boost Night, and we want to make sure that they have done their research and have gone through some of the basics of their business plan and looking at the market. And so, for instance, if they, you know, have a brand new Frisbee, and then it's going to be the greatest and the best, and one of the things that they haven't checked into is that the glow-in-the-dark version is already out there and has been for 14 years, the last thing you want to do is have them make a pitch and knowing that one of the judges will probably bring that up, and the time and the effort that they're spending trying to create a new market for it, you know, it just won't work. However, if it's a glow-in-the-dark one that actually returns to you and when you call it, then maybe that might be a new area and somebody might be interested in backing your Frisbee.
Do you kind of check to see that it's going to be something that might have some long-term legs to it rather than something that'll be a fad, you know, come in with the pet rock type of thing?
And sure.
That, you know, it may fly, but it's not going to be there long.
Well, we had 17 candidates at our first one, and we can take some bragging rights from that because three of those candidates are now in discussions with some private investment groups that probably will help them go to the next business level. If at a we can have up to 20 entrepreneurs pitch their idea that night. That's all we have time for. And so,
because the 2 minutes isn't just 2 minutes. There can be some discussion from the investors back as to clarify this and this type of thing, because you really just can't say it all in 2 minutes.
Well, exactly. But it's a very structured environment. There's a master of ceremonies that mans the time clock and makes sure everything is right in order. But the weird part, Craig, is after you make your pitch and the judges make their comments and ask their questions, you do not get to interact with them. They will say, well, I didn't hear you talk about how you plan to finance your oven that you need to bake your new cake with. The judges make these points just to let the person know that if they're sitting in front of a banker, if they're sitting in front of a private group of investors, that these are the areas that they still need to work on before somebody's going to really listen to them, and that their plan, their pitch, is the best it can be. And so it's a very structured event, and it goes very quickly. And like I said, you hear some real good ideas. When we invite different economic development groups to help us recruit candidates for it. It's the county economic development organizations, the Michigan Small Business Technical Development Center people that do business here in the Thumb area. You know, city managers, some of them have some people that have talked to them about it. Some of the people that are involved in our job training system have some private business startup ideas of their own, and they kind of come out of the woodwork. So it's always a good event to get involved in.
Do the judges have to take into account that some people just aren't that comfortable pitching? They may have the idea, but saying it in front of a group. I mean, you're talking, you know, not professional people who go out and pitch to groups like this, you know, 6 days a week. These are people, maybe their first and one and only shot. They had an idea and they trying to develop it and, you know, get a little tongue-tied in the middle of it.
Well, it's interesting how we became involved in this in a weird kind of way, Craig. It comes back to preparing somebody for a job interview. I mean, it is our job to make sure that when a person's going and applying a WLEW here and has an interview, that they are ready and have all the best, you know, thoughts right in front of them. The same is true with this group, that we actually are hosting a special time on April 27th, next week, in fact, where people can come by the office from 10 to noon and get some professional help, professional assistance on how to make their pitch the best that can possibly be and what different angel groups are looking for and judges during that pitch. So for right now, I guess I need to make sure I do my job and tell everyone that we have about 10 candidates already booked for the May 5th event that afternoon, but we can hold up to 20, so we still got maybe 10 openings, and I say maybe because they are being registered even as we speak, and some people are coming in. But for those that are interested and are curious and what does a pitch look and feel like, they are more than welcome to stop by on April 27th next week from 10 to noon and actually watch some people in their practice mode and maybe ask the judges or the advisor that's going to be there, who was a judge in the past, the kind of comments that he's going to encourage them to make and be aware of.
I would imagine one of the biggest things they're going to teach you is, you know, how to say things as brief as possible and don't waste words, because that wastes time. I mean, if you've got a lot of points to make and 2 minutes to make it, you can't be stumbling or anything. You've got to be prepared and get it out.
No, that's exactly it, and that's why we are, you know, very fortunate in the Thumb area that we have some real good connections across the state in terms of entrepreneur people and people in professional areas that have to do with Boost Nights. The Mid-Michigan Innovation Center is in Midland, is one of our partners in this event, and they bring a whole group of expertise. And again, the Blue Water Angels is an investment group that has had started in the Saginaw Midland Bay area. And not so long ago, we asked, you know, would you guys adopt the Thumb area as your own? And that if we got a great idea here in the Thumb area, that people from the Blue Water Angels, you know, would give it equal consideration. And so, and of course, they said yes. And now we are working with them to actually, I don't want to say have a Blue Water Angels chapter here in the Thumb area, but for those that maybe have retired and maybe socked a lot of money away and are thinking, you know, I'd like to get involved in trying to invest in new and different ideas, even if they come from the Midland area or whatever, it doesn't matter. If you join up and become a Blue Water Angel, you have the opportunity to invest in some projects from all across Mid-Michigan and beyond.
And your first Thumb Boost, did you get the whole gambit with the 17 people? I mean, did it range from, you know, cooking to manufacturing to computers? Did it go the whole route?
It was absolutely amazing, some of the ideas that people had. A lady stopped by with some very special scarves, you know, and I can't go into detail because it's her idea and mm-hmm. she's still working on it, but very excellent. But was she ready for taking the manufacture of those scarves to the next level? No. And the judges, you know, explained that to her and it went forward. I think organic oatmeal was one that kind of, you know, kind of was interesting. There were several thoughts and ideas about helping people with disabilities. I mean, that was a key area that many people had some ideas that would help make their lives workable, more, you know, involved and engaged, and that was great to see. One of the gentlemen that was a winner in this, and I guess I can say this because he went on to then pitch at the state level, and he is still on a winning track in that sense of the word. He created a special walking cane for people with disabilities that if you drop something, he could use this same cane not only to balance yourself but to pick up a dime. I mean, and it's a great invention. He's selling them now, I mean, on a small scale. But I think that there's a group of angel investors that are more than interested in making it a bigger manufacturing option.
Now, you mentioned going on to the state level. You can get your start, though, at the local level with investors in developing a small company. You don't have to make it onto the state. It's not like Miss America, but you got to make all the steps to get there.
No, I mean, I think a lot of it, Craig,
because some products may need more capital to get off the ground mm-hmm. than others.
Right. No, and it depends on what your dream is. Okay, and maybe having a little store, you know, in Marlette, Michigan is where you want to be. But I'll tell you that most of the people that come and pitch have ideas of a company, hiring people, which is very good and very appropriate, and then, you know, trying to really make an impact where, you know, where there's a niche, you know, where that you have a product that no one else has thought of, and you want to hit the market running. But what our Boost Night has as an option is based on the presenters. Two winners are usually picked. In our first night we had three, and that was kind of an oddity because we had so many good first pitches. But typically on a Boost Night there are two official winners, and they are invited after the pitch time to sit down, and there's a little dinner that we have for the judges for coming all that way, and these people get a chance to not only sit with the judges but usually some angel investors to talk over their idea, their concept, and what will be involved when they get a chance to pitch at another level. When they go to the state level, it is a more closed environment, and they are only talking to real-time angel investors. That's the only people in the crowd at that next level, and these are the people that are there because they really want to invest in new ideas, new technologies, new opportunities. And the fact that we had three of our first 17 get that opportunity, you know, it was great when the Blue Water Angels reported back that was the highest percentage they've ever had get an investment consideration from a Boost Night. So the Thumb Area is number one once again.
Are the ones you put in, the ones that seem to be successful, are they the ones who are looking to do more than just have the idea? They want to be actively a part of how it's developed and how it goes?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can have a good idea and here, go with it. I don't want to be bothered. Just, you know, send me the royalty check at the end of the month every month and I'll be happy. But I think from what it sounds like that the investors are looking for somebody who wants to help carry the ball.
Oh,
as they go through the process and become a part of it.
Craig, if you were there and you watched, you realize that all of these people were passionate about their idea, about what it can do, about the maybe the return on investment that you might get. No, I don't think any of the people that we ran into said, you know, here, you know, I've got the coolest computer program, take it, pay at this window. No, I don't think that was it at all. I think they're all very interested in seeing their idea through to the end. The one thing that we haven't talked about, though, is that there are no losers. I mean, you know, it so far we've talked about, you know, the winning three that have gone on and pitched at the second level. The balance of the other people that pitched their ideas were all then connected to another development person, whether it's a local economic development person, whether it's somebody at a college level that is involved in business development things, whether it's a private consultant person that works with people with ideas to develop their idea and make it that much more desirable to investors, that kind of thing. So there really are no losers, you know, when a person gets their results. And some of this stuff is written down, you know, in the end, that they will work with them on that and say that if you're going to pitch again, and I don't know if we have any returnees coming back here in May, but they are encouraged to work on this, you know, that you forgot to talk about your financials, that you already have money from, you know, this bank, or that your friends are willing to throw in $3.5 million or whatever it might be to help you, you know, in your endeavor. And those are the things you might want to work on for your next pitch opportunity.
Well, let's say if you needed, your business plan wasn't worked out, they'd send you maybe to EDC and they'll let you know when they have the next business plan seminar that they have coming up, and you can go there and and find out the pieces you're missing and get all your ducks in line if you're trying to pitch ducks.
There you go.
And go with it.
No, it's a very special opportunity, and a few years ago, we weren't even aware that these kinds of options and potential opportunities existed. As we've gotten more involved in community of commerce development, we find, you know, that we have gotten more partners outside of our region than we ever thought about, and that there really are no boundaries when it comes to creating new opportunities for and with people, and that for example, the Blue Water Angels and the Mid-Michigan Innovation Center and the Michigan Small Business Technical Development Centers are all there to help at every turn, and that's always a benefit, because in our day job, when we're trying to encourage people to get reemployed or look for new jobs, we don't say, well, just look in Huron County. We don't say that. We give them the widest picture, and then it's their choice, their opportunity to go where the latest opportunities might be. And the same is true when it comes to the business development and entrepreneurship.
Do you generally need to bring a sample of what you're trying to do to one of these? I mean, if you're trying to impress them with, say, the best cookie you've ever eaten, you're going to want to give them a cookie to eat, if you know what I mean. If they go through all this and then they find out, you know, it tastes like the floor mat of your car, they're not going to want to go any further with it. And if you have a product like you said, the gentleman with the thing that could pick up the dime or whatever, a walking stick like that, if you have a prototype of it, it's something you can show them, you know, it kind of gives them a better idea than just what you can say.
We live in a show me world, Greg, and that's just a fact. And when the first night came around, I would say of the 17, probably 10 had a product example that they could put in front of them and show people. One gentleman brought a little jar of salsa, but in that 2 minutes, you can't walk around and say, hey, take a taste. Do you really like it? What do you think? I mean, you don't have that option, but you can leave it for the judges afterwards to maybe try a little sample here and there. So there is no technology allowed. Okay, so you can't have a little PowerPoint. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. But if your product is technological, you could bring a sample of that in.
Yeah.
You just can't come in and whiz bang them with some sort of flashy type of, like you say, PowerPoint and other.
Yep. Well, and remember, technology doesn't always treat you perfectly. You know, I've been to different places where I've had to give a talk, and I've watched others go before me, and when their PowerPoint or their computer slideshow didn't work, you might as well just wrap them up and send them out the door because they couldn't handle it, you know, on their own. And in the 2 minute pitch time, it's just you, you know, that there really isn't time for technology. And hope that as you were to try and click through your slideshow and show them what, you know, your new, you know, corn crib looks like, it isn't going to be. I mean, you can have a picture and you can describe it, but it goes real fast.
Now, how important is the person who's pitching themselves, how they come to the thing? You know, if you're pitching, you know, Mrs. Nibble's greatest cookies, maybe a gingham dress and an apron might sell you a little better than, you know, if you were wearing, you know, Golemay gown or something, if you know what I mean. Do you have to kind of come in there with the whole attitude of selling this from the get-go?
It's almost like you were there, Craig, because that's exactly it. This one young lady that was trying to get support for manufacturing, like a specialty food item, she had the apron on, she had her hair pulled back, and for that 2 minutes, she was in the kitchen. And that was just it. And did that absolutely make an impression on those judges? There was no doubt. And she won, by the way. But they knew that she was passionate about it, that she lived and breathed what she was trying to sell and get support for, and that in so many ways you could really see her face, her look on a billboard saying, "Buy my stuff." Because and it would be very honest and believable, and another group that came in, they were trying to sell a new computer program that they had that was more for local farm ag based people, and you know, did they come in with overalls and grease on their shirt? No, you know, they were prime time, you know, computer guys, you know, they had, you know.
But that's what you're expecting.
Oh, absolutely.
A good working computer program is,
yep,
is somebody who's got that tech look to them.
You betcha. No, and they did a fine job. And again, for those guys, it was even that much more difficult because they want to show you what their computer program can do. They've had a tough time telling you what it can do.
Because they couldn't show you on a monitor somewhere,
bingo,
what it does.
You betcha. No, so were they the winners too? Yeah, they did win because their idea was, and I won't say that they were the flashiest or the best presenters, but their idea, their concept was very unique and fit a niche, and especially fit a niche up here in the Thumb area where ag is still king in a lot of areas, and farming is a big ticket item.
And where the product would most likely get its start.
You got it. Yep.
So, you know,
no,
if you're pitching something that would go well in Beverly Hills, it's like, you know, okay, we're going to have to ship all the way there. You know,
yep,
we want to know how it flies locally.
Yep. No, so that just gives you an idea of the diversity of the different concepts and pitches. And I guess I should try and explain a little bit, too, that it doesn't have to be a brand new opportunity. It doesn't have to be a brand new cookie, you know, that kind of thing. If you already have a business and you're looking to expand and have a different niche or a different concept or looking to kind of reinvent a certain opportunity, there's nothing wrong with those, you know, suggestions or pitches too, because sometimes remaking and reinventing a product is what the world needs, and it doesn't have to be a brand new mousetrap. It just needs to be a better one.
I'm going to be back in 60 seconds, and more with Marv.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida? A quiet lake in northern Michigan? Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements. IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswack in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back, and we have in our studio today Marv Pikla, Executive Director of Thumb Works in Marlette. We've been talking about the Thumb Boost, a second one. Added one in the fall, now one in the spring, and you're still looking for a few people with some great ideas and have it developed far enough along to pitch to some people there who have some money.
I think that now is the time to, if you've been sitting around thinking that, man, I've got a new garbage can idea, or whatever it might be, and I really never knew when, where, or how I could get that out in front of some people, this is a time to take a shot. You know, on May 5th in our central office, in Thumbworks office in Marlette, from 4 to 7, we are going to be hosting the second Thumb Boost. We will have a group of judges that you would pitch in front of. We can have 20 candidates, and Craig, I think we've got at least 10 booked as we speak right now, but I think we do have a few more openings, and I think you at least need to contact us. You can contact Matt Hahn, who is making sure the list is solid as Sears for everybody, and you can contact him at our number in Marlette, and but try and do it early, because if you are really planning to do it and you've never, and there's not too many people can say, oh, I've done the boost night before, I've done a pitch. No, this is brand new to the Thumb area. And if you want to make sure you have your best idea, your best pitch ready, that next week on the 27th, in the morning from 10 to noon, we have a Blue Water Angel coming who will coach you on your boost or your pitch that you would make during the boost night to make sure that in that little 2 minutes of fame that you get every aspect of your idea and concept out on the table.
It's not going to get the other investors upset that this guy gets a first peek at all these people.
Well, see, he doesn't get to be the judge that night.
Oh,
but don't think that those investors listen all the time, Craig. So we thought that it was just appropriate for those, you know, that want to do their absolute best and are a little nervous about how and what, you know, they should stress during that 2 minutes that we host a kind of a pre-pitch opportunity to hear from a judge and a Blue Water Angel about the kinds of things that they're looking for.
You want to make the pitch to what they want to hear.
Yes, sir.
Not what you may necessarily think is important. You can tell them that later. You want to catch their ear right from the get-go.
Well, that was my biggest problem when I was in college, Craig. I thought those college professors really wanted to hear what I had to say. And when I got a D back on my, you know, paper, I finally realized that I was supposed to be listening to them a little bit and give them what they wanted to hear. So, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that, and I can't stress it enough, that the 2 minutes is really the shortest 2 minutes that you ever experienced, and if you don't, I got to tell you the story that we has 17 candidates and we put all their names in a hat, so there is no I got to go first kind of thing. So we picks one out. Okay, great guy, great idea, great concept, but he's nervous as all get out, and he barely got out that this is me, and I want to talk to you about that, and his 2 minutes was done.
Oh,
so he really struggled. Now, were the Blue Water Angels really interested in his concept? Yeah. Is he still alive and well in the process? You bet. In fact, he's doing real well as his idea develops. But that's what you got to avoid. You know, you can't get up there and freeze. And whether you even practice in front of a mirror for that 2 minutes, don't make that mistake. And it is truly as close as you can get to going in for an interview and being told on your way in that you only get 2 minutes with the president of the company, so make sure you do it well. So there you go.
Every time you say the Blue Water Angel, I think this should be in airplanes, but that's a whole different story.
Yes, it is.
Now, there's another thing you wanted to talk about while you were here. You have coming up, you have this virtual job fair, I believe.
Well, Craig, I'm glad that we have time to toss this in. The Thumb Area Michigan Works Group always prides itself on kind of setting the trend instead of following it. And in the last about 6 months, with the hiring practices taking the technological road that everybody should have known it would, and with companies saying, well, now you apply online, you know, we don't take resumes at the front desk, or all those kinds of things, it was our belief that the next step was that you would really be interviewed online, okay? And we have partnered with Thumb Magazine and Turner Arts, and we actually host on the last Tuesday of every month live webcast interviews. 30 people from the Thumb area who are looking for work get picked to come to our central office in Marlette. And yeah, we have a studio just like you have right here where we broadcast from, and they are live interviews. And just like the Boost Night, you get 5 minutes to make your pitch about why somebody should hire you. And we start in December as a tryout, and it has worked well. Now, technologically, we've had some snafus because this is new, and this is, you know, a very high pressure time in terms of using our internet line, but we've got all that worked out. The great news, Craig, is that we have probably at least 50 companies from in and outside the Thumb area that have all signed on that watch this TV show. I keep calling it a TV show, this live webcast of interviews across the Thumb region. And if you've ever been involved in a webinar or any of those things, there's a little chat line that shows up usually on the right side of your screen. Companies email us even during the process of an interview taking place and say, boy, Fred looks great. Send me his electronic resume right now.
Are they able to send questions if they have particular, you know, you sound great. Do you also have a background in this that might really fit the job?
Well, see, we're stopping short of that today.
Because you don't want the guy distracted while he's trying to do the interview with, I got to read that, and what I got to talk on here, but I got to read that because I don't know what they want to say, and it gets kind of confusing.
Well, and plus, these are called intro interviews.
I see.
Okay, we don't try and fashion them to fit a specific company or a specific question. Instead, if you have a manufacturing background, the interviewer, and we have a kind of a host interviewer, and she's great, and she tries to get out of you in that 5 minutes what your best manufacturing skills are, you know, what maybe different machinery you have worked on, what quality credentials you have, those kinds of things, so that if different companies from around the Thumb area or beyond are watching the telecast, they know that you have ISO this or that you have operated this kind of fabricating machine, whatever. And so that's kind of our measure of success. You know, do you get a real live interview then from this experience? And it's been a wonderful test so far. We started in December. We've held one the last Tuesday of every month since then. And there's one coming up next week on Tuesday. And the 30 candidates are already booked and ready to go. We're booking into May at this point. But if you think about it, Greg, a person will never have, this is the opportunity of a lifetime, and I don't use that just off the top. Think of it. In a five-minute span, you get to interview in front of 50 companies without moving out of your chair, live.
Plus, if one of the 50 likes you, they may think they have to scoop you up fast because there were 49 others saw the same thing you liked.
You, dead on. It was really funny because, you know, you all, you know, you've got preconceived notions about what a perfect interview is. Okay? And I'll own up to this one. So this gentleman comes and he's interviewing at one of the first ones. And granted, you know, he was a big fella. He didn't look at the camera. And, of course, I'm here in my shirt and tie, and I think that everybody should go to every interview in a shirt and tie. But he chose not to, okay? And he doesn't look at the interviewer, and he doesn't really look up at the camera very often in this interview. And I'm thinking, man, but I'll tell you what, he had every manufacturing credential that I could think of. And before he even finished that whole webinar site, there were four or five different manufacturing companies that all asked for his resume right now. And when the interviewer asked him, why should somebody hire you? He finally looked up at the camera and he says, you know, when I go to on the job, I don't mess around. You show me my machine, I'll produce a quality product. I don't stand by the water cooler and talk. I just get the job done, and that's what you'll get if you hire me. And I'll bet you, Craig, that guy is working today. And so, you know, your first impression when you see him is, but that just tells you that as the different companies watch this and get involved in it, there's somebody for every slot in it, and it's just different. And that's the good news.
Terrific. That's the last, what, of the month, Tuesday?
Last Tuesday. And so
what time?
April 26th, next Tuesday, is our, and they go from 9:30 to noon, okay?
Is that something only open to businesses, or can other people see how people are interviewing and maybe think that might be something good I do?
Well, one of the cool sidelines, and you know that our board is made up of private business people, but schools and colleges and a lot of different groups. Some of the schools, the intermediate school districts, have tuned into the broadcast to give young people a picture of what tomorrow's interviews are going to be like. Ooh. If you have to interview online, this is what it might look like, and whether, you know, they kind of pick apart different people's interviews, they can. But no, people can contact our officers. There's a special code that we to use to let you in, but it is something that different people can watch. You can stop by our office on those interview days, because we have it up on the big screen, so people can watch, they can talk about it, and say, you know, well, I'm looking, can you book me for May or June or whatever it will be? But I really think that this is the future when you think about interviewing and getting your foot in the door. For companies, they seem to really like it. I mean, they have stuck with us even through our early technologically problems and snafus, but they stuck with us because it gives them an intro interview, and it doesn't screen people in or out. It just gives them an idea of people, their skills, and makes it the time that they invite them in for a real interview that much more valuable.
You see that as maybe the future as far as personal resumes. You send an e-file with a 5-minute video resume on it.
You know it's happening today. You know, I won't say that the Thumb area is way behind technologically, but I know that in some of the bigger cities and different occupational areas, absolutely, that's the way they begin the interview and hiring process, you bet.
If people have questions, how do they get a hold of you? Because we're getting a little short on time here.
Well, they can call us in Marlette, 989-635-3561. You can ask for any of us, because the whole gang, the whole office, both locally and in our central office, are prepared and are understanding the process and can share all the goods and bads with you and get you involved in it.
Yeah, I suppose you can stop by any Thumb Works and get a whole lot of information on job hunting and other skills that'll help you out.
Every time, that'd be great. They can stop by our Bad Axe, Sandusky, Kirawer, Lapeer offices, too. That's the good starting spot.
Thanks for being with us today, Mark.
Thanks for inviting me, Craig.
Our guest today on the program, Marv Pikla, Executive Director of the Thumb Works in Marlette. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.